It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up next, Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin have said that they plan to take up right-to-work legislation, which would put restrictions on private unions this upcoming legislative session. First, on Monday, the world's first e-resident got his ID card. In a ceremony in the country's capital, the president of Estonia declared a British journalist, Edward Lucas, the first ever e-resident of the world. Estonia, which is a tiny country of 1.3 million people, hopes many more will follow that lead. In fact, they've set an ambitious goal of adding millions of people and tens of thousands of companies to their list of e-residents. They're hoping people will be attracted by the ease of doing business with this tiny, tech-savvy country as a gateway to the European Union. Joining us now is Edward Lucas. He's a senior editor at The Economist, a senior fellow and contributing editor at the Center for European Policy Analysis, and the world's first e-resident. He joins us now from London. Edward, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you, Veronica.
Well, on Monday, you became the world's first e-resident. This is clearly a pretty new thing. How would you describe exactly what an e-residency is?
Well, an e-resident is someone who doesn't live in Estonia but has the ability to do the things on the internet that Estonians take for granted but everybody else in the world finds very difficult. And that's chiefly, if you remember the famous New Yorker cartoon, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. And Estonians can prove they're not dogs, and they can prove that, and they can see that other people aren't. You can send an authenticated email, and it really does come from the person who's sending it. You can sign something with a digital signature, and that's as good as a physical signature on a bit of paper. And you never have to give the same information twice. Once you've got that card in your hand and the PIN number that goes with it, you are you on the internet. So it really does, for our travels on the internet, what American Express did for our international travels a few decades ago. Just one bit of plastic in your pocket, you can go anywhere and do everything. And I thought that was tremendously exciting, and I was really honored to be given number 00001.
And have you put it to use already?
Indeed, I have, actually. The first thing I did was for my travel expenses to Estonia, because the Estonian government paid for me to go, and they needed my signature on a bit of paper to show that I was happy with that. And so they sent me a Word document, which was signed by them, and I got it up on the screen, and I put my card in my card reader and opened the little signing app and typed in a PIN number, and that was as good as if I'd signed it with pen and ink and put it in the post to them.
Do you think that the applications of this right now are primarily financial, or is there more to it?
I think there's several elements to it. One is that you have hundreds of millions of people around the world who would love to do business in the European Union. European Union is the world's biggest single market, 500 million consumers, a $20 trillion economy. And if you're in India or the United States or wherever, you might want to set up a business in the European Union. At the moment, to do that, you have to go there, physically go there, and fill in lots of forms and, you know, do it the old-fashioned way. But with this e-residency card, once you've got it, and you can get it from the Estonian consulate or embassy as of next year, then you can virtually go to Estonia on the internet, and you can open a company, open a bank account, and then you're in. You're doing business in the European Union. So that's one very big thing. And I think from the Estonian point of view, it's very important because they are a small country, perhaps not tiny, as you said, because, you know, tiny is relative, but 1.3 million people, and they're pretty worried living right next door to Russia. And this is a way for them to build up a digital diaspora of people who will obviously do business in Estonia, and that's all good. But also, it creates a kind of wider community of people who think well of the country and care about its security. So it's a bit of an insurance policy for them as well.
And for people who don't want to open a business, who don't necessarily want to bank in Estonia, do you see other more practical applications coming down the pike, or at least, you know, things that are less specialized?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for example, if you have a business and you're worried about these spam or these spear phishing emails where you get an email that seems to be from the chief executive saying, please authorize so-and-so. And this is a real problem in cybercrime at the moment, that you can't tell when you get an email, did it really come from this person or did it just come from someone who's hacked into that person's email account? And once you've got this e-citizenship, you can send an email. It's absolutely clear. It's rock solid, crystal clear that email came from the person. So I can imagine companies saying, right, we're going to get 500 of these things and everybody is going to use them. If you send an email within the company, you sign it because we want to know that these emails come from the people who came to claim to have sent them. So I can see, I'm just at this very basic level, everything we do on the internet suffers from this kind of quasi-anonymity where you never really know what you're dealing with. And you have all this faffing around with typing the first and third digits of your memorable number and then the fourth and fifth letters of your memorable word. And, you know, we're extremely inadequate and badly secured identification systems on the internet, which basically don't work and are very badly administered. And this having this bit of plastic in your pocket and the PIN code in your head, that short circuits all that, gives you something much better.
If you're finding this so useful, you know, why shouldn't England, for instance, where you're from, where you are a citizen, not an e-citizen, an actual, terrestrial citizen, I guess, to use the word, why won't they just adopt these things, and why shouldn't each country just do this for their own citizens?
Well, you're an American. I would love you to just speculate on the idea of the American government saying we're going to issue digital ID cards to all American citizens. I think you might find that was not seen as something that every American really wanted. The great thing about the Estonian system is it's an opt-in, and you can, if you like it, you can do it, and you get all the extra convenience. Again, it's a bit like credit cards. If you like credit cards, you can use them. If you don't like them, you can always pay cash, and it's a bit more inconvenient. And I think other countries will come up with similar systems. So Singapore, for example, which is another very well-run country, although perhaps not quite as democratic as Estonia, they're thinking of opening an e-citizenship or e-residency program for people in East Asia. And I think, it rather like credit cards, you'll have lots of competing offers with different degrees of convenience and security. And that's great. I love the idea that countries are competing to offer themselves as platforms for people in other countries. But what's important about Estonia is they've been doing this for 12 years. They have the best e-government program in the world. You file your taxes in Estonia, and literally it takes you 30 minutes to do it, sometimes even less, and you get your tax refund the same day. So they've kind of proved how to do this stuff in a way that most other countries haven't.
Now, the e-residency program, it seems to want to create a high-tech, borderless digital world. Do you see this as being something that's practical, given the realities of the physical world, things like bureaucracy and red tape, which are part of our daily lives?
Well, they don't need to be. And I think, the stuff we really enjoy, which is hanging out with friends and, doing all the stuff that actually makes life worth living, is always been, the time we have for that is being bitten into because we spend so much time on this pointless bureaucratic stuff. And what I notice in Estonia is that people actually have more time to do stuff that's fun because they spend such a minimal amount of time interacting with government. It all happens very, very quickly. For example, you never have to give the same information twice by law. Once you've given some information to the government, it's the government's job to shuffle that around and not your job to give it again. So you don't have all that stuff of endlessly putting in your date of birth and your social security number and trying to prove who you are. So I like the idea of this kind of frictionless, flat world where we can get on with stuff that we actually want to do and don't have to spend a lot of time getting around the fundamental inadequacies of the way the internet was designed. Because remember, the internet wasn't designed to be the central nervous system of modern civilization. The internet was designed as a mechanism for academic collaboration. It just kind of accidentally barnacled and morphed into being so important. But there are some fundamental flaws of the way the internet was designed. And this, I think, is addressing one of the biggest of those flaws.
Do you see this as something that could potentially chip away at the relevancy of actual nation states?
Well, I think it depends what you're doing in life. If you don't want to travel abroad, then you don't really need a passport. And obviously America is a very big country and many Americans don't have passports. And why should they need them? There's plenty to see in America. In small countries, people tend to want to travel, so then your national ID matters more. Driving licenses, again, if you drive in another country, you may need to get some kind of international driving license or something that will be recognized there, particularly if you do it for a certain amount of time. And so we're quite used to managing these sort of different privileges and identities as we travel between countries. But the thing about the internet is it all works so quickly. So I might want to be doing business in Estonia, then I might sign a document with a company in Ireland, and then I might want to do something in Japan or Singapore or wherever. And if I've got this very strong cryptographically secure identity, I don't need to go to a notary and show my passport and get a signature and a photocopy and a stamp on the photocopy and then FedEx it to the other side of the world. I can say, well, do you take digital signatures? Great. I've got a smart card reader here. I'll give you a digital signature right now. And they will recognize that digital signature. So it acts as kind of accelerant to all the stuff we need to do on the internet.
So do you think if you've got this e-residency with Estonia, would you theoretically need one or benefit from having one in other countries too?
Well, I think it depends what you want to do. And it's a really a question of who do you trust. And I trust the Estonians much more than I trust my government, because the British government has a lamentable record of losing its citizens' data, and where our bureaucrats are constantly leaving CDs and thumb drives on buses and trains and in the street. And I really feel nervous about the British government having access to my personal data. I feel quite comfortable about the Estonian government having access to some sort of register of documents I've signed and issuing these cryptographical certificates, because they've proved themselves pretty good at it. They haven't been hacked. There's never been any serious problems there. But maybe someone else will come along and say, well, look, we do it even better. Maybe the Norwegians would say, for example, well, here's a cryptographically secure digital ID, but guess what? We've put a photo on it. So now you can use this not just as a digital ID, but a real world ID. You can board a plane showing this. Well, that would be a very attractive offer. Then I might consider something else. But that's the great thing about competition. It stimulates innovation and choice, and it puts us as the consumers in the driving seat, which is where we really haven't been so far on the internet. We've been pushed around by the providers on the internet trying to make us fit into their way of doing things, and it just hasn't worked very well. I'm very glad there's an alternative.
And Edward, just briefly, let's say I want to be an e-resident of Estonia. What do I have to do?
Wait. Because, well, first of all, go to Estonia, because if you go right now, you can get one. It's in what they call beta, but that will last for another few months. And when they've ironed out all the kinks and got everything absolutely perfect, then it's going to be available from any Estonian diplomatic mission, so embassy, consulate, something like that. You turn up, do a biometric check, show your existing passport, go through the hoops so they can be really sure that you're you, and then you get a thing in your pocket. It's like a credit card, bit of paper with your PIN numbers, and off you go.
Edward, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Veronica.
We've been speaking with Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist, senior fellow and contributing editor at the Center for European Policy Analysis, and the world's first e-resident.